Rick Williams led a team of volunteer carvers from all over the world, carving a totem pole to honor his brother, John T. Williams, slain by Seattle Police Department officer Ian Burke. Williams responded to a painful wound with a healing gesture. The totem pole has been placed now at the Seattle Center, at 5th and Broad, beneath the Space Needle, next to the EMP. It's a place where Rick and John used to sit and carve together when they were much younger. We met Rick Williams at the center yesterday. On that cold, blustery day, he was standing back about 30 feet, looking up to the totem pole. You're admiring your handiwork from afar.
Same here.
It looks good.
At the time we started this here, I didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
When they put the log in front of me, I followed the vision I had of Selma lineage and my family, my father, my grandfather, and all four of my late brothers. And in my mind and heart, I knew where the law was going to go, how they were going to handle this. I knew they'd find a prettier broom to sweep this, because none of them were man enough to stand up the way my family did. Speaking for my family, that the honor was everything to us and heritage, that what my father, my grandfather, and great-grandfather did here in Seattle for just about 100 years now. My question to them was, how can you say that this Mr. Ian Burke, 2 years, 7 months on the street, was able to play God at that moment, and thinking no one will stand up for this man. I knew John better than anybody. I knew what he liked, disliked. His favorite things were little things that people take for granted. You know, we know out here what the law says. The lawman broke the law. The lawman used the law to protect himself. To me, he covered up a great lie. Is this all going to be said, or are you going to edit like everybody else does?
No. You're saying it. What do you mean by a great lie? We're not going to edit it.
Great lie. How is it any different the last 600 years? Look at my brother walking down the street. Everybody in Seattle that grew up with us knew him. They showed the last week of my brother's life on paper, TV. They showed only what they wanted, never the truth about my brother carving for four presidents like my whole family did here in Seattle. Carved for Smithsonian, museums around the world, for things that we all created, and took my brother's life, and it wasn't his time, man.
No.
Murder's murder.
You know, but you responded with a gift.
Yes, sir. As the carvers that I started this, a lot were hurt and angered, and some said they didn't like my calm or the way I handled it. And I feel sad lately that some natives are angry at me for the way I handle this, not knowing what I was taught and the teaching I grew up with. It made me open my mind and heart to handle it proudly for my brother, because he was a great man, you know, that this will be in history, that in my mind and heart, I hope people always talk about this, because if you seen the video to this,
no,
how was he a threat? None of us, everybody, and everywhere I go, people say their condolences to me, and I thank them for it. That what they saw in the video, they weren't scared, but Ian Burke's thoughts. That's his choice he made. I feel bad for him. I forgave the department. I forgave Burke. But
nope.
Still nothing's done. They used all their resources to protect him. Wasn't man enough to see me, face me, talk to me.
Burke?
Yes. I asked for a time to where the lawyers and I get together with the union, what Rich O'Neill, everybody that protected him. I wanted to meet them once. My friend, the lawyer, asked me, what'd I say? Nothing. It's just my right to see them. Doesn't matter if I see them now, because they proved who they truly are. And what I find sad is us taxpayers that pay them to protect and serve. How does that make you think, feel? What does your heart say to you, sir?
My heart says to me that we did not get the full story out, and we did not have enough of a ritual,
of course,
to come to full healing. What does it say to you?
No, my mind and heart still open. There is peace. I can sleep better at night knowing we accomplished something for my brother. You know, whether the Native community understood why I did it this way. I loved my brother. His brother's forever, even now. But here, we hope it'll be a sense of hope and healing and peace because of one man's poor choice.
You know, usually with totem poles, each symbol has a meaning or a significance, either to the carver or as a whole.
Yes.
What can you tell me a little bit about the different images up here and their significance?
Well, in the top part here, the eagle is something I saw my father do in Canada in 1950 era. He never carved it again after we came here. His work changed. I wanted to capture a story of something somebody in my family carved at one time, just to tell a story that the Williams family has been in Seattle for about 100 years. The man there holding the carver used to be an ivory carver, so now it's called the master carver. No disrespect to my grandfather, but Grandpa's holding John T's best design when he was just about 15, and he carved kingfisher and salmon and handed it to my dad and didn't say anything. Dad asked, why did he get upset? You know, and my brothers and I looked at him. Dad, we're just kids. John's not even 15, and you gave him a handle master carver. So every year, John had to create something different. By far, we think that was his best creation, because he didn't use a pencil to draw it. He just, in a half hour's time on an 8-inch piece, that's what he showed. The Mother Raven was stories that we grew up hearing about the beginning of time, and the frog on the chest represents that the death of someone, and the baby raven between the Mother Raven's ears is a new life, a new beginning, a new journey, that it just means there is peace. You know, since all this happened...
That's you. What is that ring?
Rebel yell.
Yeah.
Hello. Can I call you back? I get the response all the time. that history, somewhere it's repeated, somewhere upset for now. And I read on Facebook every day people's thoughts, and I'd really love to answer them. But I got like 3,000 Facebook friends, and a lot of them are saying what I'd like to. But I won't, because I'll find it dishonoring my brother.
You mean they're speaking out in anger?
Yes, anger, hate, rage. They're pointing fingers to like John Diaz, Captain Wilson. You know, where they should be looking at who protected them. The Union, Ted Buck, Dan Saddleberg. I don't know. I don't want to point any fingers, but as taxpayers, it's up to us to have people like this working for us to protect and service us, not themselves. There's a time I seen in some radio channel, TV channel, that Rich O'Neill got up there saying something about the Union, why in 1930s. I took that newspaper and threw it and wanted to say, you know, this is 2000 what, and you're talking about what, man, you know. My only comment was, you guys got to grow up, get rid of the Union, because it's a bunch of whatever you want to call it.
We're with Rick Williams at Fifth and Broad, in front of the totem pole that he and a number of carvers carved and put up. in honor of John T. Williams.
It wasn't just us master carvers. We had people from around the world on their vacation time saw the video, and they took time to learn how to carve and sand and paint, you know, that the people around the world. I got 11 books full of this, people that came and put their time and effort into this.
We got some names at the bottom, too, of some of those carvers, right?
Those are the main carvers here that's being put on there. And there's, I'll need another log to carve everybody's names on it that came from around the world.
I heard that you were a little wistful about it, the carving being done and moving it over here to be erected.
Yes.
And is that because what makes you wistful? I mean, you've accomplished something.
What do you mean, wistful?
Yeah, wistful is maybe, that's what I heard. Well, that you were, there's a little bittersweetness to the end of the project. Is that right? That's what somebody told me that you had said.
No.
Not really?
No, I had no...
It's done?
It's done, no. I saw this all in a vision even before they brought the log to us. And, you know, because I grew up in Seattle here, and I've seen and heard this a lot of shootings and nothing's done. And, you know, and to see this happen in my family, that now I'm going to sit on a turtle and stay strong with it. Being silent and calm and at peace with all this, I found more strength and honor knowing that we can make a difference. I mean, the only thing I take credit for is designing and guiding people to carve this, you know, in honor of my brother and others that were hurt like this. I don't hate anybody.
So, Mr. Williams, what's the place of the Williams family in Seattle, in this region, today, in your mind?
What's the place?
Yeah.
I'm going to carry on carving, teach carving, sharing thoughts, teach them how we grew up and what it meant to be an artist like this.
All right, good. Anything else you want to say?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That's Rick Williams, wood carver and brother of John T. Williams, who was shot and killed by Seattle police officer Ian Burke in August of 2010. Last weekend, there was a ceremony to raise the 30-foot totem pole in his honor. It was carved by carvers from all over the world. You can see the pole on the Seattle Center grounds at the intersection of Broad Street and 5th. As we were walking away from the totem pole after our conversation, Rick Williams said, "They took something beautiful away, and we gave something beautiful back." This is Weekday.